Thank you, Father, for this Lord's Day. Thank you for the opportunity we have to rejoice in your greatness. Lord, all the glory goes to you. We're just a vessel of clay. And we are celebrating today, Lord, your faithfulness to this group of people, this little church, and each one through the years that have been a part of that, and a man that, for whatever reason, you selected to be able to have such a lengthy ministry here. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. I pray that you would speak to our hearts. I pray that in these next moments you would strengthen me to say what you want me to say and help me to forget what you don't want said. We look forward to the day and the times we have to share together in the coming hours. But at this moment, we're asking that you would help us to have our thoughts centered on you, Lord. All the glory does go to you. And we look forward now to what you have for us. And we'll commit this to you, Lord Jesus, in your name. Amen. And you may be seated. Shall I wait? Let somebody answer your phone? There we go. All right. Knowing today was coming, I've been in prayer for quite a while, asking the Lord for direction about what my final message ought to be. And that's where we're at today. There's a service this afternoon, but you can relax. You won't be listening to me this afternoon. About a month ago, the Lord just, I had prayed for months, and there just really wasn't anything that the Lord had put on my heart, on my mind. But about a month ago, I think it had already perhaps laid down to go to sleep at night. And I wish I could say that I did this every time. Foolishly, over the years, I would be in bed trying to go to sleep, and some ideas would come to my mind that I would tell myself, "You'll remember this in the morning." And you get up the next morning, and I can't remember what it was. So, I have tried to change that in recent years, that when I realized that the Lord was bringing some ideas to my mind through in the what I had been praying for, I got out of bed and I jotted down some ideas and thanked the Lord for that. And nearly a month ago, I spent time and I prepared this morning's message that I've entitled, What to Expect. But I didn't know how I was going to start it. I didn't really know, Lord, what would you have me say, just from the heart, just some personal things to set the stage for what you want to turn to from God's Word. In 1972, Kathleen probably remembers this, was my ordination service at Forest Avenue Baptist Church in Ypsilanti. And in connection with that ordination service, the mother of my former pastor in Oklahoma was there, Mrs. Sisson, Jerry Sisson's mother, was there at that time. And as people were coming up greeting, congratulations, Lord bless you, this, that, and the other thing, Mrs. Sisson said something to this effect. She said, "The Lord has something great planned for you." I forgot about that for years and years and years. Never once rehearsed that in my mind until about 2 weeks ago. All of a sudden, I remembered Mrs. Sisson's words way back then. And I got out of bed and I said, "Thank you for the direction, Lord. You truly have done something great with our lives." And I came to this church January the 15th, 1978. That's way back in the previous century for you younger ones. And I told many people, as we have gone through the ministry here over the years, different ones have asked about it. I've told many people, I was, you remember being 29 years old, Jerry? My word, that seems like eternity ago. I told many people that I felt that God had brought me, a young preacher. I had had 5 years as a pastor previously in St. Louis, Missouri. But I said, I considered the Lord bringing me to the perfect church. And here's why I said that. Let me talk about some of the things that were here when we came over 48 years ago. Let me talk about the congregation. The congregation, which the numbers were a lot larger, a lot closer to what we're looking at today when I first came. But the congregation as a whole on any given Sunday was almost equal numbers in every age category when I came here, from the youngest in the nursery to the oldest senior citizens. We had just about equal amount in any age category that you wanted to mention. They were here for us to start a ministry with. The board, I had I can't remember how many now, that was over 24 hours ago, but I had a board, I had a good number of men on the board, and I will say this, and this I mean, the board has been very supportive and patient with this old guy. Then and now. Not every pastor can say that. Many pastors, there is a tension between them and the board. I'm thankful for the spirit of the men. And get this. One of the men that was a young buck back then is still on the board 48 and a half years later. Dick Moore, would you please stand? He has weathered it all. I thought about what a perfect church. The spirit of the people. There, as I said, in any age group, from youngest to the oldest, there was a spirit of willingness with the people that were here in this church at that time. They were willing to serve in Sunday school. They were willing to serve in Awana. They were willing to serve in Vacation Bible School. Dick was our choir director back then. They were willing to sing in the choir. And it was one of those blessings. We didn't have to tug and pull and threaten people as needs arose. We had people, and they were willing, and we saw God's blessing over the years throughout those ministries way back then. By the Lord's blessing, we were enabled to see those ministries thrive for many, many of those years. It's just been in the recent years, as our numbers have decreased, we're not able to have summer vacation Bible school anymore. We're not able to have Awana anymore. But how God blessed all those years and how thankful we are. I thought about the finances of our church. The financial blessings and provisions God made for us. Now, Chester is with the Lord, but Chester and Kathleen, they were involved with this treasurer's position here. When we first came, I was given a check every week I was here. It went down to 2 checks a month. Finally, it went to 1 check a month. Just a lot easier doing the bookkeeping only once rather than every week. But my wife and I joke about this sometimes. There were numerous Sundays when Chester would hand me my check for the coming week. His comment was, don't be in such a hurry to get to the bank in the morning. Give us a chance to deposit today's offering. How that has changed. How that has changed. During the years we have been here, we saw the Lord's blessing financially to be able to burn the mortgage in a special Sunday morning of the auditorium 3 years before its final date. A few years later, we saw how the Lord had provided, and we were able to burn the mortgage for the parsonage 7 years, all paid off before it was due. And we are so thankful for how God has blessed up to this very moment. 2 weeks ago, the men of the board, because of our need, we had a new roof put on. I think it was either 04 or 14. I'd have to check the records, but it leaks. We've patched, we've dealt with it. After this service is done, there'll probably be some plastic cups and bowls and everything sit over here, because when we get a good toad strangler, you can hear it dripping from up here. But 2 weeks ago, the men of the board decided on a company to put on a new roof for the auditorium again. And I don't know that Steve has done it yet. Maybe there was a $15,000 down payment, but total amount is over $51,000, and he'll just write a check for it because the money is there. How God has provided for us financially. Perfect church. In our years here, we had the privilege of being the home church and send 4 different couples / families to the mission field, right from this little church. And then we also witnessed one couple come, and they signed up to a ministry, the Arvics, the, can't remember what R-V-I-C-S, anyway, they rove, they went from place to place. They were the 5th of the missionaries that we saw God raise up and use for his service. Truly the Lord did have something great by anyone's estimation. And as I think about that, I am humbled as I ask myself, why me, Lord? How is it that you chose me? Having said that, I invite you now to turn with me to our scripture reading for today. Not our scripture reading, but the scripture for the message. And that would be Joshua chapter 3. Joshua chapter 3. And I would like us to consider just those first 4 verses. Joshua 3:1-4. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan. He and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host, and they commanded the people, saying, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests and the Levites bearing it, then you shall remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits. That's about 3,000 feet. That's over a half a mile distance. You keep your distance from the priests who are carrying the ark. Why? It says, come not near unto it, that you may know the way by which you must go, for ye have not passed this way before. And I thought, that's a good starting point, Lord. Just reminding you, the regulars that are a part of our weekly congregation, Dick and Margot, you're about the only ones that have traveled this way before looking for a pastor, because you were here when I came. Nancy, you were here when I came. Roger, not trying to omit anybody intentionally, just as I see your face and I recognize you were here. Oh yeah, Christy and Kevin, they were here. I mean, Christy and my daughters, age 6 and age 3. There you go. But the thought I want us to think of is, you have not passed this way before. That's why I thought the title, What to Expect, would be a good starting point for what we've seen in this passage. And I know some of you are note takers, so here we go. Number one, expect to see changes. Expect to see changes. For 40 years, the Lord had led the Israelites in the wilderness. Certainly, they had become very comfortable with and familiar with His ways and His leading. After all, as they passed through the wilderness, they weren't on their own. We talk about it, wilderness wandering, and that gives us the idea they were just not really knowing what we're supposed to do. They always had the realization of God's presence among them. By day, there was a pillar of cloud that they could see anywhere from the camp. And by night, that pillar changed from a cloud to a pillar of fire long before LED lights were invented. But that's how the people had light for the campsites. God provided the lamp, all they needed for the camp. And the key was, keep your eyes on that cloud, that pillar, because that's how the Lord led them. As long as it stayed put, that was God's signal. You stay put. Don't say you're getting tired of this campsite. You have to walk too far to the spring to get water. This is where God's brought us. You stay here. Until that would begin to move. And that was the signal. The priests would blow the trumpets. The signal was, it's time to break camp. Let's load up because the Lord is leading us on to another. They always knew what God, where He was taking them, where He was leading them. But as they were at this point in Joshua's experience, and as we see here, they were going to be leaving the past behind them, and they were on the verge of discovering new things that God had for them in the future. And that's where we're at Hiawatha Bible Church. You're on the verge of changes. There's going to be changes. as we think of the book of Joshua, we notice a couple of changes as soon as they entered the promised land. For instance, Joshua chapter 4, notice in verse 19, if you're following along, Joshua 4, the people came up out of the Jordan. That was the barrier. But the previous chapter shows God's miraculous deliverance, God's miraculous bringing them into the promised land. You say, why do you call it miraculous? The Jordan stopped flowing, and it tells us that it was the flood time of the year. And the Jordan stopped flowing, and they marched across the Jordan on dry ground. And once they got across on the other side, when the priests got their feet back out on the bank, all of a sudden, there was the water, the flood waters, flowing behind them. And in this 19th verse, it says, the people came up out of Jordan on the 10th day of the first month. 10th day of the first month. And encamped in Gilgal in the east border of Jericho. They were in the promised land. 10th day of the first month. John, does that ring a bell with you? I was here last Sunday, and I remember John talking about the 10th day of the first month. If you were here, what were the Israelites instructed to do on the 10th day of the first month? They were to select either a male lamb or a male goat, and they were to keep it in their house for 3 days. And on that fourth day, they would sacrifice it, put the blood on the doorposts and the lintel. And it was that 14th day that they crossed and they passed out of Egypt into the promised land. Very significant to me that this is when God brought them in, on the 10th day of the first month. And we find here in Joshua chapter 5, verses 2 through 5, these words. At that time, here's some changes that came about once they got into the promised land. At that time, the Lord said unto Joshua, make thee sharp knives and circumcise again the children of Israel the second time. And Joshua made him sharp knives and circumcised the children of Israel at the hill of the foreskins. And this is the cause why Joshua did circumcise. All the people that came out of Egypt 40 years before that, even all the men of war, had died in the wilderness by the way, after they came out of Egypt. All the Jews that left the land of Egypt had been circumcised. But in 40 years' time, notice verse 5, now all the people that came out were circumcised, but all the people that were born in the wilderness by the way, as they came forth out of Egypt, them they had not circumcised. So as the older circumcised men were dying off on the verge of coming into the promised land, we see that these men had not been circumcised. Liberty Study Bible says this, circumcision was the sign of the Abrahamic covenant. Moses had led a circumcised people out of Egypt. Apparently, the rite had been neglected during the years in the wilderness. Moreover, the proper observance of the Passover held before the campaign for Jericho. See, now it was on the 10th day that they crossed over, and they were only 4 days away from celebrating the Passover. And we see here that Joshua demanded that it be observed by those who were duly circumcised. With the renewal of circumcision and the Passover, a sanctified people were ready for God to lead them into the holy warfare that lay ahead of them. Circumcision established as a sign of the covenant to indicate that Abraham's offspring were uniquely dedicated to God. A Hebrew who failed to observe this rite would be cut off from the covenant community. Circumcision, get this, was to serve as an outward sign of an inward dedication to God by the Jewish people. This change was necessary for them to get themselves at the place where they ought to be as God's people, as they now had crossed over into the promised land. All of the conquests lay ahead of them, but they had to get themselves ready for God to be able to use them. Change number two that we see with the children of Israel and getting into that which something you've never traveled this road before. Give God distance, keep your eyes, follow His leading. The first one is the reestablishment of all of the men being circumcised. The second one in Joshua chapter 5, verses 11 and 12. Notice, let's go back to 10, because here you go. The children of Israel encamped in Gilgal. They kept the Passover now. Their men had been circumcised on the 14th day of the month at even in the plains of Jericho. Now get this. 4 days on the 14th, they did eat of the old corn of the land on the morrow after. Let's see here. After the Passover, unleavened cakes and parched corn the selfsame day. Now get this. And the manna ceased on the morrow. The next day, after they had eaten of the old corn of the land, their first meal that the promised land had provided for them. Neither had the children of Israel manna anymore, but they did eat of the fruit of the land of Canaan that year. The next day after they had had their first meal in the promised land, they didn't get up that next morning and find the ground covered with the manna that they had been picking up for 40 years. No more. Something's changed. They're in the promised land. What about us? There's going to be changes for sure. There's going to be a new person someday regularly standing up here as your pastor. That individual is bringing a new personality. There's going to be the good possibility that whoever God brings to you is going to be coming with a whole new approach to ministry. Bringing perhaps to you new ideas, new methods of doing things, endeavors that we as a church have never done before. Things you're used to all of these years may very well be coming to an end. That wouldn't surprise me a bit. This man is, let me just tell you, as your pastor who's leaving and has had the privilege all these years, let me tell you, this man is going to need all the encouragement and support and prayer you can give him to take on a ministry which, as soon as he enters into the up on the platform and gets behind the pulpit, has a shadow of a man who has spent over 48 years here on him. That's one of the main reasons why Jerry and I are leaving after today. It's going to be hard enough for the man God brings your way to carry on and cast off the shadow of Jerry Wickert. And let me just shoot from the hip here, from the heart. As I said, this gentleman is going to need all of the support, prayer you can give him to take on a ministry there that's got such a challenge ahead of them. There's going to be plenty of things that are going to be changed. And let me encourage you, please, please, be in prayer that you can have a good attitude toward the man that comes. I know the tendency of human nature.
But Pastor, we've never done anything like this before. We don't like the sound of that. How are we going to do that?
We've never done it that way. I hope the Lord brings so many new ideas with this new man that perhaps in days to come you're going to be realizing things. I didn't really like it at first, but boy, I like this change. I like it. There's going to be all kinds of changes, but there's more to expect. Number two. And I want to speak to human nature on this one. Number two is expect not only to see changes, but expect to see God's faithfulness to you as a congregation. God's faithfulness is not connected to any certain person or date on a calendar. My retirement is official in 2 days, June 30. My wife says, it's today. But you know what? My retirement and moving away from this place is not going to affect God's faithfulness on you as a congregation. In Scripture, we read he is the same what? Yesterday, today, and forever. I shared with you some of the evidences of God's faithfulness to us in my opening comments to you as I thought about the great things God had planned. What a ministry God enabled me to take part in. I never dreamed there would be anything like this when I came here. Joshua was encouraged when Moses publicly announced that Joshua would be replacing Moses in Deuteronomy 31, 7 and 8. Listen to the words. Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him, in the sight of all Israel, be strong and of a good courage, for thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord has sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, get this, he it is that doth go before you, he will be with thee, he will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. That's quite a promise. And Joshua was encouraged that once Moses died, God's faithfulness to them was not going to die with the man. But just turn a couple of pages to Joshua chapter 1. And after a 30-day mourning period, after Moses died, listen to what the Lord told Joshua in chapter 1, verse 5. There shall not be any man able to stand before thee all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying that you as a congregation can expect to see God's faithfulness in and through the ministry of whomever God has chosen to replace me. There is no end to God's faithfulness. We've seen him faithful here the years that we've had, but guess what? You can count on seeing God faithful as you look unto the Lord, as you wait on the Lord, and as you walk in obedience to him and his word. Our God will not fail you. You can count on that. In chapter 3, verse 5 of Joshua, Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, set yourselves apart, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Just as we've witnessed God's faithfulness in the past, so in the future, you can expect to see that faithfulness to continue after June 30. How do you know? I said a while ago, he's the same. Yesterday, today, and forever, Hebrews 13:8. The scriptures abound with references to God being faithful. Deuteronomy 7:9, don't turn to it. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God. Isaiah chapter 49:7, let me read it for you, where it says this, thus saith the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel, and his Holy One, to him whom God despiseth, to him whom the nation of the nation abhorreth to a servant of rulers. Kings shall see and arise. Princes also shall worship because of the Lord that is faithful and the Holy One of Israel. He shall choose you. 2 Thessalonians 3:3, the Lord is faithful. 1 Corinthians 1:9, God is faithful. Revelation chapter 19, we read in verse 11 these words, and I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called, get this, faithful and true. And in righteousness doth he judge and make war. Yes, changes, expect them. They're going to come. No two people are alike. And everybody has their own way of doing things. Just because it's been done the way I did it doesn't mean there's not going to be a better way for somebody else to continue on the ministry of the Lord here in this place, because God is not going to be changing you. God is not going to be failing to show his faithfulness to you, a body of his people. Lastly, aren't you glad I don't have 17 points? Number three, expect, get this, the unexpected. What do you mean by that, Pastor? Only the Lord knows what's ahead. I know what's planned for today. Expect the unexpected. How about that this morning, dear? I had a couple of those famous hits that I'm known for. I wasn't expecting that today, but there they were. And I just thank the Lord that he took me through and has given me the strength to stand up here and share what was on my heart to you. But you're going to see changes. You're going to see God continue to be faithful and expect the unexpected. What do you mean by that, Pastor? In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, Paul said this, but as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man. Get this, the things that God hath prepared for them that love him. I don't know what's going to happen, but I know God's got great things planned for you. By the sound of these words, it sounds like we can't even imagine what the future is going to be. Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard. Changes are going to come. God's going to be faithful. What kind of changes? I don't know, but just expect the unexpected. Be open to it. Support the man. Don't criticize the man. Get on his side like you've been on my side. Psalm 39, I'm closed with three references. In Psalm 31, verse 19, I read this. It tells us, oh, how great is thy faithfulness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. Jeremiah 33:3, a very familiar verse, which says, call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. That's our Father. Our Lord's going to do that. And then finally, in Ephesians chapter 3, very familiar portion, verses 20 and 21, I close with this. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. What's the Lord have planned for Hiawatha in the future? Sounds to me like there's no limit among those whose hearts are right with him, among those who are willing to follow his leading and guidance for the coming days. Let's pray. I thank you, Father, for just the privilege of bidding this congregation farewell. I thank you for the ministry that you have blessed us with. And I pray that what you put on my heart is just what these folks needed to hear. I wanted to bring glory to you, Lord. I wanted to encourage them that though we will be leaving, you're not. They can still look unto you. They can still count on you to be faithful, loving in the future. Bless, I pray, these words to our hearts. Continue to be glorified in all that takes place this day. In your name I pray, amen.